On January 5th, we got Governor Kathy Hochul's vision for the upcoming year with her State of the State address, but it's highly unlikely that her plans will be implemented verbatim, so we wanted to think about what might actually get done during the legislative session this year, as well as try to answer some other outstanding political questions for 2022. And to take a stab at predicting the future, we're turning to former Democratic Assemblyman Keith Wright, who is the current Democratic leader for Manhattan, and Director of Strategic Planning at Davidoff, Hutcher & Citron, a commercial law and government relations firm in New York. Welcome back to the show, Assemblyman, and thanks for taking a look at your crystal ball for us.
No, thank you so much. It's good to be with you. I think crystal ball, I don't think I have, but... You know, I'll do my best Amazing Kreskin imitation.
Well, that's all we can ask. Well, we're speaking a few hours after Governor Kathy Hochul wrapped up her State of the State speech, and I'm curious whether anything struck out to you as potentially difficult to get into the state budget or make its way through the state legislature before the end of the legislative session in June, or did this all seem like low-hanging fruit to you?
I've seen probably every State of the State speech for the last at least 30 to 35 years, and this one certainly was unique in the fact that it was a mostly a virtual sort of speech. You know, I can remember the days when that assembly chamber would be packed to the gills, and governors would speak, and it's a different sort of climate. I think she hit it out the park for her first coming out party, if you will. She did pick on some low-hanging fruit, you know, especially now with that we have the majorities in the Senate and the Assembly, which is a relatively new phenomena. I think what she's trying to do with healthcare workers is great. I don't think people argue too much with that. The term limit situation might be a bit difficult. Putting aside my own personal beliefs regarding term limits, I don't think the legislature really wants to fool around with a lot of constitutional amendments. You know, our founding fathers and our founding mothers certainly knew to a large extent what they were doing. That's why they make it so difficult, or they made it so difficult, in terms of trying to create constitutional amendments. And the other thing is, I mean, I think for the most part, members of the legislature think that term limits already exist, and those term limits are called election days, and people actually in the state legislature look, you know, what's happening in New York City with term limits, and all they can do is basically shake their head for the most part. So I think it was good for her to say it. I think it was good for her in terms of trying to bring over another faction of the Democratic Party. But whether it gets done or not, I'm a bit skeptical.
Well, sticking with the good government reforms from the governor, Hochul said she wants to overhaul the main ethics watchdog in Albany, the Joint Commission on Public Ethics, which also would take a constitutional amendment, and she wants to replace it with a rotating panel of law school deans. How likely are the legislative leaders going to be to embrace this idea?
That's kind of out the window. It's like, not that anybody loves Jacob so much. As a matter of fact, I think they probably loathe Jacob to a certain extent. However, you know, I think they probably need more details. But again, it was good for her to put that forward, simply because, I guess, you know, the former Governor Cuomo established it, and she's basically trying to put her own stamp on her own administration and maybe to create her own vision of what a government watchdog agency is supposed to be all about.
Completely missing from both the speech as well as the State of the State book, which is more than 200 pages long, is any reference to bail. And the legislative leaders have indicated they have no interest in rolling back any of the changes to the system that have been adopted since 2019. So does that mean we shouldn't expect anything to happen on this front between now and June when state lawmakers are scheduled to end the legislative session?
Listen, bail reform is something that's always been very near and dear to my heart. People used to call my father, who was a state Supreme Court judge for many, many years, the father of bail reform. So I think at this point, bail reform, the way it's been instituted recently, is still, in terms of legislators, is still relatively new. They want to see how it works. I know, notwithstanding articles and headlines in the newspapers, our communities of color in particular have been so decimated by the way bail has been implemented, I don't think that the legislators would be that quick to making any changes to bail reform as it stands. Now, however, that does not mean that the conversations won't happen. I do believe that there will be conversations, probably some pretty intense conversations, especially with the mayor of New York City and the governor, and if they can collaborate and find common ground and they can talk in unison. But I don't think that the legislature would be interested that much in changing the bail reform laws as they stand now. However, you will get some heated input from some Democrats who are in some of the who represent some of the areas outside of New York City, upstate, Long Island, that sort of thing. And so, as I said, I think the conversations will occur. I think that the conversations will get a little bit intense. However, I don't think that there's really an appetite, especially among the leaders of the Assembly and in the Senate, to really change the bail reform laws as they stand now.
For listeners just joining us, we're making predictions about 2022 with former Democratic Assemblyman Keith Wright, who is the current Democratic leader for Manhattan and director of strategic planning at Davidoff, Hutcher & Citron, a commercial law and government relations firm in New York. And you mentioned that this issue of changing the state's bail laws could be a point of contention or at least discussion for New York City Mayor Eric Adams and Governor Hochul. And in her speech, Hochul made reference to the importance of having an improved relations between the governor's office and the New York City mayor's office. So how long do you think their current honeymoon is going to last? And are there any potential minefields in their future that you think could blow that up? I mean, could bail be that minefield?
As far as I'm concerned, we can pronounce them man and wife right now, because there's always going to be inherent tension between the governor of the state of New York and the city of New York, which is a subsidiary municipality under the state. So there's always going to be some tension. However, the way that they've been acting as ebony and ivory, I think it's been absolutely fabulous. This is like night and day to what I've seen over the years. I hope it lasts forever. But yeah, there will always be minefields. For want of a better word, there will always be some points of contention, because you know everything that's good for New York City is not necessarily good for around the state, and everything that's good for around the state is not necessarily good for New York City. However, I think those discussions will be held in a very, very civil manner. I think, they'll get along intellectually and emotionally as well as politically. So I think for the state of New York to get along with the city of New York, and for the city of New York to get along with the state of New York, it bodes well for both the mayor and the governor politically. And I think that the folks, the constituents in the whole state as a whole, will benefit from it. But there's always going to be tension because, you know, one is a subsidiary of the other.
Well, if we can, you know, lean in on your counseling advice a little bit more, Governor Hochul has talked about improving relations as well between the legislature and the governor, referencing the strained working relationship her predecessor had with past legislative leaders. What sort of relationship are you anticipating, and who do you think will be steering the ship, so to speak, as we, you know, navigate the waters of this legislative session and the budget process?
Well, I think, listen, in terms of improving the relationship, the governor will be steering that ship, and I think that's been evident and it's been welcome, because the legislature is not used to or has not been used to camaraderie, if you will. Mm-hmm. I can remember the days when I go back, when George Pataki had a real tension-filled relationship with the legislature. And then after Pataki, we had Eliot Spitzer. And, I don't need to say much about that relationship with the legislature.
I believe he was a steamroller.
Andrew Cuomo came in and it kind of, the relationship kind of eroded. It took a little while to erode. So I think that Kathy so far is starting to steer that ship by creating such a good working environment. However, the legislature, just as long as she doesn't forget the legislature and that the legislature exists and you don't try and stuff policies down their throat, I think you'll see a great working relationship. I think the people in the state of New York will actually benefit.
Well, hanging over this entire session is the fact that potentially dozens of Democratic lawmakers are going to face primary challenges from their left in the end of June. And so those lawmakers could theoretically put pressure on their legislative leaders to see certain actions, and they then will potentially take that pressure and push that towards Governor Hochul. So how do you think the primaries will impact what happens in June? Are we going to see a significant push to the left in any way, meaningful way? Or are those concerns overblown?
If you see a significant push, I don't know if you won't see a significant push. Some of our veteran legislators in particular will be facing challenges from the left. And yes, they may be putting pressure on their legislative leaders to pass certain bills and such. But that's called politics. That happens every year. I don't have to tell you, Dave, about the end-of-year frenzy when trying to get last-minute bills in and looks like something out of that movie Trading Places at the end of during the stock market scene.
Yeah.
But that's called politics. And I do think that we will probably see a lot of bills probably that people might be considered left leaning or progressive and such. But that happens every year.
Well, two of the big priorities for progressive activists and far-left lawmakers are legislation that would impose very broad restrictions on when someone could be evicted and when rent can be increased, how much it could be increased, excuse me. That's the Good Cause Bill. And then we also have legislation, the New York Health Act, which would call for a state takeover of health insurance in New York. Do you anticipate either of those bills moving through the legislature, or are they still pretty much dead on arrival?
No. And listen, Kathy just talked about, she just talked about how basically landlords need help too, right? Which is, you haven't heard that in a few years. So I thought that was very interesting. And I'm not saying anything is dead on arrival, but, it's I think there'll be some discussion. But I guess they have to see how the governor's proclamation about landlords needing help too, how that goes over. So, the governor and Eric himself, they have, in a lot of ways they're different than the legislative leaders we've seen in the past. However, all politics is very, very local. And we're all talking about the pandemic and such now, but, I think they both understand that business has to continue. And while they've done a lot of things for tenants, some of our landlords boards need some help too. So, you know, we'll see. I think the conversations will continue, but the business of New York has to be about the business of New York. So I think they want to keep this economic engine up and running so that they're so that we can continue politically and governmentally as well.
Well, we've been speaking with former Democratic Assemblyman Keith Wright. He is the Director of Strategic Planning at Davidoff, Hutcher & Citron, a commercial law and government relations firm in New York, and serves as the Democratic leader for Manhattan. Assemblyman, thank you for letting me serve as the Billy Ray Valentine to your Lewis Winthorpe III.
You know the movie!
Yes.
Okay.
Feeling good, Lewis.
That's right. Well, the pleasure's mine.
Support for the Capitol Press Room is provided by New York State United Teachers, a union of professionals in education, human services, and healthcare.
Join us again for Capitol Press Room, a production of WCNY Connected, Syracuse.